listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Let's all greet each other. Give everybody a greeting. Good morning. How many of you had breakfast this morning over in the fellowship hall? Okay. Yeah, we've got a good class doing it this month. I heard there was casseroles. I missed out on sausage. I mean, I'm greatly disappointed. Should have went over. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to fill out the little form there in the heart publication and place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. Several announcements. Want to remind you about our Patriot Drinks fundraiser for our project, and want to encourage you, if you'd like to get one of those, just see Judith in the lobby afterwards. Also, our Ladies Joyful Christmas Tea is coming up Saturday, December 20th, and tickets available also in the lobby for that. And then next Sunday is our Christmas musical, Hope Awakes in Bethlehem, and I want to encourage you to take the flyer there in your heart publication and use that to invite friends. In fact, get several on the way out and hand them out and invite people to come and take part in this. It'll be a blessing to them. They'll sense the presence of the Lord as we share Christ together. Tonight, Blaze Pizza, we've got a fundraiser for the church property, and want to encourage you to go by and build a biggie and go build a big pizza and enjoy that, and we'll have a great time. Jack Rogers, can I see you right after service? You're not in trouble. And then also, I'm excited about this first time I've ever done this in my ministry, that I'm actually, for this month, I'm going to be speaking through the four different types of gifts that were given to the Lord Jesus at his birth and around the time of his birth. And so we'll be looking at those over the next 4 weeks. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. I'm excited about this study. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Reborn Youth Christmas Party coming up Wednesday, the 17th. Life groups, again, want to encourage you to take part in those. They're a blessing. We had a wonderful time with ours today. Great discussion, sweet fellowship, and I know it'll bless your hearts. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for this time of year. Lord, we just ask that you would increase our faith this Christmas season, Lord. We ask that you would bless our gifts, our offerings, our tithes, Lord. I ask that you would put your hand on all of us here and all of us listening. I just thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, especially this time of the year. Lord, we thank you for the greatest blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church. Do you realize that the birth of Christ is basically only covered in two of the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke? And it's interesting that we see the most detailed account of some of the backdrop here in Matthew. If you got your Bible in Matthew chapter 1, let's look at the narrative together. relating to the birth of our Lord. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And when you found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. So let's have a little bit of a trivial quiz here. How many wise men were there? we don't know exactly. Why do we assume there's three? Three gifts. All right. And it's interesting that when you look at these men, they were very, very educated. They were the astronomers of their day and astrological as well. Some think they may have been Zoroastrians, and they came from Persia, which is now Iran, or possibly Iraq, which back then was Babylon. And these men were very, very educated. They were the scientists of their day, as well as all of these other disciplines. These men were biblical scholars, and the quotations they're giving are kind of, if you don't know to look for it in the Old Testament, would possibly be obscure, and yet they were able to, with their knowledge of astrology, begin to see the prophecies of Christ. They believed in the prophecies, and so they were God seekers and men of Scripture. Now, the two references that point to the birth of Christ are found in the Old Testament. First of all, we see in Numbers 24:17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and they shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Seth." And then in the tiny prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. He's going forth or from long ago, from the days of eternity." And so we see here these two references that these wise men, the Magi, were able to ascertain. Their name, Magi, is actually we use the word magic or magician or magistrate. And it's not that they were magicians, but the term itself refers to rulers, people of high influence and authority, and a well-knowing, knowledgeable people. And so here we see these men, and it's interesting their travels. You know, they traveled by foot or possibly occasionally riding a horse, a beast of burden, a camel. And they traveled 900 miles is the estimated distance to go see Christ. And they brought with them their gifts. And it's interesting, there's a great deal of importance to these gifts. And we're going to look at each one separately and the symbolism of it and basically what it represents as we look at this. And so today we're going to look at the first gift. And the first gift is the gift of gold. Gold points to the sovereign dominion of the Lord. Gold itself, gold is for royalty. And from that, we can ascertain that with that, the application for us is that you and I are princes and princesses in relationship to the kingdom of God. And so let's look first of all at gold has universally been considered a symbol of royalty. The gold in ancient Egypt, gold was referred to as the flesh of the gods. Charlemagne's crown was made of pure gold encrusted with jewels. The French monarch, Louis XIV, his palace at Versailles was actually gilded with gold, and it was to denote divine rights and power and endurance. And when we think about the temple of God, the first temple Solomon made, and we're going to look at the proliferation of gold, literally the material gold, the valuable metal that was in the kingdom of Solomon. When Solomon built the temple, he literally wallpapered the entire temple with sheets of gold. When they made the mercy seat, that little throne type seat, it was made of pure gold. Ark of the Tabernacle with the cherubim on top of it, the angels there, made of gold. And gold was just used throughout. The censers that carried the incense for worship, made of gold. All of the implements, made of gold. The priests, when they walked around in their holy garments, the bells around the bottom were 24-karat gold bells. In fact, the cloth itself had threads of pure gold in the cloth, woven into the cloth. And then the breastplate that they wore, pure gold encrusted with jewels. And so there was a great deal of expense involved in all that. In fact, they say as far as construction goes, Solomon's temple was the most expensive by far, many times over, construction building ever built. And his donations, the greatest donations to spirituality and worship in the history of humanity, in the billions of dollars. And we're going to look at some of that in a minute where we could actually quantify it and see that. And so we see this idea of the universality of gold. And then gold in Scripture is a symbol of enduring quality and royalty. Psalm 21:3, for you give him blessings of goodness, you set a crown of pure gold on his head. And then 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, we see in the judgment, in our future judgments at the judgment seat of Christ, a reference to this. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss or be ruined, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. So we see here the enduring quality of gold in our lives as we serve Christ. And our life should have a goal of being a golden life for God, a life that endures. Gold, when they found gold, thousands of years old, millennia old, in some of the Egyptian tombs, Tutankhamun's tomb, layered, covered with gold. It shined with the brilliance the day they minted it. And the day they covered the sarcophaguses, that it looked exactly the same after thousands of years. We see that God says that you and I, when we serve Him, our goal in our life should be to have a golden life, a rewarded life, a life that brings honor and endures and is glory to God. The fire is coming, the Shekinah glory of God, the holiness of God. He is a burning inferno. He is a burning fire in His nature. The seraphim fly around His throne, and they're constantly on flame for thousands of years from the Shekinah glory of God. So the picture here is that the nature of God Himself will be able to be exposed to our works, to our life, to the things you and I have done, the things we haven't done, the things we omitted that we should have done, the things that we did we shouldn't have done, that it's going to examine them. And we want our life to be a life, a golden life, a life that endures. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I do that? How can I know if I am producing a golden life? The only things that will survive the Shekinah glory of God in our lives are the things that emanate from the Spirit of God within us. The only things, when you're submitted to God, when you're submitted to Christ, I think I hear someone's dinner bell going off. So we see that as the Holy Spirit takes control of us and as He lives through us, everything we do, controlled and led and guided in obedience to the Spirit of God, is going to endure. And this golden endurance. And so we see this gift that's been given that was brought by one of the wise men, or possibly several, and this enduring righteousness. Number three, gold is given as an expression of praise and worship. In Isaiah 60, verses 6 and 9, a multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. Number 9, surely the coastlands will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because He has glorified you. We see that in Scripture, the idea that we submit gold, we submit wealth to God, that we give to Him, and we invest in Him and His kingdom, and this idea of giving to Him. Now, when we look at giving in the Scriptures, in 1 Kings chapter 10, we see the Queen of Sheba showing up. She had heard about Solomon. She was a great ruler there in Africa, and she came to meet Solomon and to question him. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And then later in the chapter, in verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold, a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. So she literally gave Solomon 5 tons of gold. 5 tons of gold. And in common value now, her gift was worth $610 million with the price of gold right now. So this was just, and she wasn't the only one. Gold was being given to Solomon from all over the world. It was pouring in. If you look down in verse 14, now the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Annually, King Solomon from the world was given 25 tons of gold every year. And so the estimated value for that, I put some math to it, and it's startling, the numbers we see in relationship to it. So he was given annually 3,059,926,000 dollars worth of gold every year. And that's right now at $122,397 a ton. Gold just pouring in. Now, I've got here a gift that was given me that I've kept, and it's a little 10-ounce little block of gold. And I've got the picture to show you in proximity to my thumb. You can see it's basically the length of the last digit of my thumb. And right now, this is worth $1,400. This little thumb size, little end of your thumb size piece of gold at current value. And so to extrapolate that and think about 5 tons of this, 25 tons of this annually. I mean, Solomon was swimming in gold. And let's look and see what he did with it, some of it. So he had this 25 tons coming in a year. And besides that, from the traders and the wares of the merchants and all the kings of Arabs and the governors of the country, King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold using 600 shekels of gold on each large shield. So each shield cost him $1,011,000, each shield. And so we see in this, he had $200 million worth of shields. And $202,200,000 worth of shields, just shields. And then he made smaller shields, 300 smaller. And those were much more economical. They were only $500,000 each. And so the king made a throne of ivory, and he overlaid it with gold. And we see some of these other things that occur with it. And it says this about King Solomon, and all King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. Verse 27, the king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. Now, when I read that and I think about the wisest man who ever lived, and what was the purpose of all this gold, this overlaying the temple and gold shields and all of these ornaments and all of this other, it really only had one purpose, and that was worship. They didn't hand those shields out to hundreds of soldiers and say, go fight a battle. Number one, it's one of the softest metals. It was strictly of God, you're worth the most that we can do. Now, you've heard me share the illustration. My mother was at Bellevue Baptist Church, worked in their preschool as a volunteer for years. And my mother was the CFO for my dad's electric company. And she was very economical and was a tremendous bookkeeper. And I remember mother coming home talking to me, and she said, Daryl, it's just troubling me. And I said, what's troubling you, Mom? Bellevue Baptist Church, Adrian Rogers Church in Memphis. She said, Daryl, they're spending $2,000 to $4,000 on some of those worship banners they parade down a few times a year. That money could go for other things. That's a waste of money, buying all those sequins and bedazzling all those banners and, you know, the lion of the tribe in Judah embroidered with a giant lion on it out of silk and all that. And I thought about it, and I said, Mother, I just want to respectfully say I don't agree with you. And she said, "Daryl, $2,000, $4,000 for a banner?" I said, "Mom, those things only have one purpose, and that's to worship Christ." And the folks there, affluent folks there, said, "I want Jesus to have the best." And believe me, it was impressive when the standard bearers would bring in those banners and they would have the pageantry of worship there at Bellevue. And, you know, you and I were looking at a project that's much larger than us. It's a project of faith. And when we move to the property, I am really, and I want you to pray and trust with me, that God would just supernaturally do something above all that we ask or think, that we wouldn't go build some get-by building, that we would say, "Dear God, you tell us what you want there and open the windows of heaven and provide it, and let it be excellence, excellence, excellence in everything that we do." And that it would be a place when people walk in, they'd say, "These folks at First Baptist believe in a great God. They believe in a powerful God." You know, we're talking about a 50-foot cross on the front of it where 50,000 vehicles will drive to it every day. And the idea of this investment in the kingdom of God and what we see here as they reached out, King Solomon and what he was doing. And I guarantee you when he got to heaven, he didn't think, "Oh, I wasted a lot of money on the temple." I know he didn't think that. I know that didn't cross his mind. And we see here this amazing aspect of giving. And I want to encourage you to put Jesus first in your giving, to make him a high priority. When you leave this life, the things you've given Christ will be the things that matter the most. Can I hear an amen? The things you've given Christ. And that means acknowledging him financially, as these have done, and as they did historically, observing the tithe, observing your giving to God. It's Jesus' birthday we're celebrating. How many of you want to have a Christmas party or have the family over for Christmas and none of them bring you a gift? You know, "Well, they came over here, the little Welchers, you know, and they didn't even give me a gift. I didn't even get the socks or the tie or whatever." Well, let's not treat Jesus that way. We've got the Lottie Moon Christmas offering where we're giving to support 4,000 missionaries all over the world, most of them in the hardest to reach parts of the world, some in the communist bloc, many in the Muslim bloc nations, and some of the most unreached areas of the world for Christianity. And you have an opportunity to give to that Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Shay and Josh coming out of our church, our previous youth pastor, our daughter, right now, and what they're doing in Asia. And it's exciting how God is bringing God-fearers to them and that. And you could support them also and help advance the kingdom of Christ and the gospel of Christ. And then our project and all of these other things. And just say, "Dear God, what do you want me to support? What do you want me to do? What can I do with my gold? Where can I invest this for the kingdom of Christ? Where do you want it, Lord?" And so with this, we see the picture of gold is a picture of royalty. We see, first of all, that the New Testament declares the royalty of Christ. And we saw that in our Micah verse, where it talked about that his goings forth are from long ago, that from the days of eternity. And then we see also in Scripture that it talks about in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. "And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Our God is the King of all kings. Our God is the Lord of all lords. He is the reigning ruler of the universe. Bar none, period. There is no other. He is it. He is the omniscient supreme God. And the royalty of Christ is represented. Then in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, we see also that Scripture declares this. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worship God, Jesus God, God Almighty, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit in worship. And then we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." It won't end. Now, what's neat is God in his generosity doesn't let it stop there. It's not just the royalty of Christ that the Magi recognized as he gave him the gift of gold, a little chest of gold. And by the way, with that, it's said and that was able to finance Joseph and Mary taking the Christ child, baby Jesus, to Egypt to shelter him from Herod and his malevolent intentions. This became their financing for their trip and for their life as they had to flee to save Christ's infant life, his young life. And so we see that the New Testament declares the royalty of believers. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We are a chosen race, and we are future rulers with Christ. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, "And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." And then we see also in Romans chapter 8, that the Scriptures say this about us, Romans 8, 16 and 17. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Beloved, we're sitting here in church today, and you're sitting next to people you're familiar with, some you've known for weeks, months, years. And you know, we see them and say, "Oh, yeah, I know them. You know, I know that person, that couple, that family." But what we don't realize sometimes is that all of us sitting here in Christ are the future royalty of heaven. You're sitting next to kings and queens and princes and princesses. I loved it when Clara used to, as a young girl, talk about princesses. Getting kissed by the princess. They were doing some tissing. But you and I, we're princes and princesses. You're royalty. And you say, "I don't feel like royalty. I almost didn't get out of bed today." But you and I are going to be reigning with Christ. People have asked me through the years, "What are we going to do in the eternity? What are we going to do in the millennial kingdom when we come back to earth? When we ride back on horses with Christ at the second coming, what are we going to do?" We're going to be ruling the world. Your future mayors and governors, you say, "I don't want to be a politician." Well, you won't be. You'll be a statesman for God. And you'll be given responsibilities. And those responsibilities will be based on how you're living now. What kind of a steward are you now with the things God entrusts you with your time, your abilities, your finances? What are you doing now? And from that, God is going to use us as part of his family and share the divine nature with us. The Bible says that we, in the epistles, we are partakers of the divine nature. That means the riches of heaven are not gold like we think here. They're not diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds. It's not silver. It's not platinum. It's the knowledge of God. It's interesting how this has gone full circle. Right now, the most expensive commodity on earth is not those rare minerals. It is human time. And they're mining our time, the metadata, and they're selling it, and it is exorbitant, worth trillions of dollars. Well, in eternity, it's going to be the nature of God, the mind of Christ. It's going to be his knowledge that he shares with us as you and I are partakers of the eternal kingdom and co-heirs with Christ. And so we see that this wise man, this brilliant scholar, ancient scholar, whether it was one or several, approached and brought the valuable gift of gold to recognize the royalty of Christ, the enduring nature of Christ, and to acknowledge him and to provide for him. We have the opportunity to do that now as well. And it's interesting, you know, what God does with that and how he does it. And so I just want to encourage you today, as we think about these gifts and as we think about this particular gift, and we think about the value and the significance of it, and that you and I make that a priority in our life. They say that the average Christian in America spends more on pet food than they give to missions. And yet they say, I'm your servant, Christ. Your agenda doesn't mean anything to me, but I'm your servant. My pets mean more to me than your gospel, than your mission. And so I just want to encourage you as you evaluate your life and as we think about it. I thank you for singing to me a while ago. So I celebrated 69 annum years on earth this week. And Kim says, you know what the next one is? Yeah, the next one is 69 plus. What's funny is we were visiting the hospital. Helen Porter's in the hospital. And we went to visit her. And the lady, senior lady next to her, heard us praying with her, and she started talking through the curtain. You're a pastor? Where are you? Yellow Church downtown. Can you come by and pray with me before you leave? You know, it was really sweet. And so I was talking to both of the senior ladies, one on one side, one on the other curtain. And I said, well, y'all, I told Helen, I said, I'm going to be 69. I think it was the next day. And the woman on the other side of the curtain said, oh, you're young. I remember when I was 69. She's 84. And I said, well, the easiest way to be young is run around with old people. I mean, if you're 80, find you a 90. We've got some 90-year-olds in here. Start running around with one of them, and they'll go, oh, you're just a kid. You're only 80. It's all in perspective. And, of course, I know no matter how old any of you are sitting in here, and no matter how much you're hurting, that inside you is a teenager. There's a teenager in every one of you. And so we see that eternity is approaching. God's given us a limited amount of time here. We have access to things that we're only borrowing, we don't really own. Just die and find out. You won't take anything with you. In fact, I would give $1 million to anybody that could take this little piece of gold with them into eternity. You can't do it. There was an old miser that scrimped on everything, didn't take care of his family much because he just kept hoarding gold like Scrooge Duck, you know, the Scrooge Duck in Disney. It's hoarding gold, hoarding gold, hoarding gold. So when he died, he's got two suitcases full of gold that He really couldn't even lift. He's dragging him into heaven. And Peter meets him at the gate. And he says, Peter, you're not going to believe this. You know, I'm finally here. I want to show you what I brought. You're going to be so impressed. So he drops the two cases, pops them open. Peter comes over and looks and goes, oh, pavement. Pavement. Streets of gold, just to fill it in for you. Now is the time. Anything we do for Christ, we turn it into eternity. And Jesus said, rust and moth can't corrupt or devour. You can't lose it if you invest it in the kingdom of Christ. And so this is my practical application for you today from the message and the gift of the wise man's gift of gold to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And we do thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful pictures you give us in Scripture. And Lord, we thank you for all the things that you've loaned to us. And we ask you, please, dear God, to speak to our hearts. I pray for my heart and every heart here that we would obey you and that we would be wealthy in the kingdom of God, that when we stand before you, that we would have gold, silver, and precious stones in our lives, that our lives would be enduring. And I ask you, please, right now to reorient our priorities, to acknowledge you. And as we celebrate your son's birthday this month, show us what you want us to give him. Maybe you want us to give him an unreached people group that can be reached through Wycliffe translators. Maybe, Lord, you want to help support some of the international missionaries of the Southern Baptist Convention for your son. Maybe you want to support the gardeners. I ask you, please, Almighty God, to speak to hearts. Maybe, Lord, you want those to step forward and help advance and speed up our project to build a glorious worship center for you and a Christian school on the property. And Father, I love you, and I thank you for the opportunity for us to obey you, trust you, to believe in you, to extend ourselves. And I want to ask you to speak to hearts. And Lord, I know ultimately the main thing you want in every one of our lives is you want our lives. And I ask you, please, dear God, to speak to hearts today. If there's anyone watching, listening, or here that does not really, really, really know you, please open their heart. Please bring salvation to them. Please save them, forgive them, indwell them. And I'd like to ask you right now, if that might be your situation, to just say, Almighty God, please come live in my life, live in my heart. Please, Lord, cleanse me of my sin. Forgive me. Thank you for allowing Jesus to suffer and die for me. Thank you for his sacrifice. I receive it, I accept it, and his righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want you to respond to God, obey God, do what God tells you to do always, including in this invitation. And so if he's speaking to your heart about any of these things, maybe church membership here to be a part of this family, maybe speaking to your heart about believer baptism, maybe he's talking to you about a prayer request you want us all to share, a praise of something that God's done uniquely for you, whatever the case might be, you come as we sing. And Linda, come and stand here with me. Linda's got an exciting testimony to share in relationship to her husband, Robert.
He's not here today. He's up in Minnesota. But just a year ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And this week, we got the report from Moffitt that there is no sign of cancer anywhere in
his body.
It's a miracle from God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Linda. Praise God for that. Amen. I want to remind you again about Blaze Pizza. If you've got an illness, that pizza might help you with it. And so I want to encourage you to go by. I think it's from starts at 5 o'clock and go by or take it to go, you know, if you don't want to miss any games tonight or whatever. And just run through and grab some pizza. And it'll help bump our project a little bit. And then want to remind you about the ladies' tea and the tickets in the lobby and also the Patriot drinks. See Judith in the lobby about that as well. And praise the Lord for you and excited about what God's going to do and what he's going to use us for in this new year. I was really pumped about our new young adult class today. We had around a dozen in there, and it was just joyous. We had such a joyous time together, and it's exciting what God's doing, and he's just bringing us back around again, and really excited about that. And I can just see in the future. In fact, Gary Porter, one of our deacons that just went to be with the Lord, called me so excited a little over a year ago with a vision. He said, I woke up in the middle of the night, Pastor, and I kept thinking about the sanctuary packed from the front to the top of the balcony with people worshiping Jesus, and God's going to do it. Now, Gary's in heaven now, so he's interceding for us before the throne along with Christ. He's a joint heir now. But just praise the Lord for that. And then also Helen had a spill and has been in the hospital this week. So if you can pray for her, she fell against a piece of furniture and cut the back of her head. And fortunately she had on the bracelet and it dialed 911 and got help there. And so she's actually doing real well, but you can pray for Helen also. So love y'all. Praise God for you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstewart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact He's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05.